Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.
Voice of the Cape 91.3, welcome back. The High Court in Johannesburg has handed down a ruling on religion in public schools, saying that schools can't promote one religion. The case was brought by the Organization for Religious Education and Democracy, OGOD, against six schools in Gauteng. The court said it's concerned by single faith branding in schools and endorsing one religion to the exclusion of others. Schools have been ordered not to favor any one religion. To unpack the ruling and the significance of the case is Jacques Rousseau from UCT. He is a lecturer in critical thinking and ethics. Jacques Rousseau, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on.
And you seem to share a name with a very well-known French philosopher as well. I'm sure you get that quite a bit.
Yeah, it makes it hard to find me on Google, but it is quite appropriate.
Right. Let's have a look at this ruling by the High Court. On the surface of it, seems to be encouraging. The courts are playing the game according to the Constitution.
Yes, it's a mixed bag. I mean, I think it is a kind of a victory for the secular cause in the sense that, as you said in your intro, the schools can no longer brand themselves as favoring one religion over others. But there's a lot of it that still hasn't been addressed by this ruling. So the other two main elements of it were whether schools can or cannot carry on holding religious observances, and they can, and whether schools can ask pupils what their religious affiliations are, and they can continue doing that too. So critics would say that on the last thing, that might be a violation of privacy, that's not the kind of thing that a school should be entitled to ask you. And on the religious observances thing, I think that a lot of the secular activist groups would say that external bodies can perhaps come in and do religious observances and things, but that it shouldn't be the school that hosts these things themselves. And of course, the judgment does say that schools need to pay attention to 15(2) of the Constitution and the Schools Act and all that sort of thing when they do their religious observances. But that's going to be incredibly difficult to do, right? I mean, if you need to give equal airtime, in a sense, to all religions and also the non-religious, it might end up becoming quite a logistical nightmare. So I do worry that the judgment, as encouraging as it is not going to lead to short-term change.
I mean, on the face of it, I know a number of schools that do have learners from different religions or different faiths. But they don't seem to have the problems that are being addressed, that have been addressed in the court, that they have people from different faiths. But they seem to get along, to muddle along without any conflict or any problems at any level. So why do we just have the problem with these few schools?
Well, I think these schools are examples of what is a broader trend. I'm sure there's schools that do this perfectly equitably and in line with the various bits of legislation. But I don't think that these are very much minority schools. I think it is a wider problem than just these schools. And also, I fear that we, even if there aren't problems, right, we shouldn't necessarily judge our policy on that, because we don't know what children would do and how they might flourish in a different environment. And if we are committed to maintaining a separation, at least a limited separation between church and state and our public schools, then that's what we should do, regardless of whether we see existence of problems or not. It could be better, it could be even better than it is, right?
Do you think that there's a bit of sensitivity from the days of apartheid education, where religious instruction was part of the curriculum, and it came from a certain perspective to the exclusion of others?
I think that's certainly part of it, yes. And a lot of the things that we're the schools involved now, I mean, still kind of Christian national education leaning, I mean, the schools in this case. And I think that there is an element of protecting a kind of privilege, a historical privilege that they've had to teach as they see fit. But it is a sensitive issue for the country as a whole. I mean, not just that kind of historical sensitivity, but we do have a majority Christian country, and it's almost if people feel entitled to have that worldview manifest in schools and to their children. And the point of a case like this is to say you're perfectly free to continue holding your beliefs and worshipping and so forth, but that it's not the state's role to license that or to encourage that.
Do you think that we also need to bear in mind parts of the Constitution which tell us quite expressly or implicitly that in a country like South Africa, each faith is in fact equal in status? To me, that seems to be a very important part of the whole equation. It's not like the old days where one faith was seen as the government at prayer.
Yeah, that's certainly true, but notice that the language talks about freedom of belief. It doesn't talk about, it doesn't in a sense compel you to have a belief. So if we're going to read that accurately, I think we've got to include freedom of non-belief in there as well.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So what happens in these sorts of cases is that you opt out rather than opting in. So there's already a kind of bias in favor of some kind of religious observance. And it also seems to be the case that when alternative activities are arranged, they're almost, in a sense, ghettoized or second-class activities. So there's this peer pressure element. So the freedom of belief and expression thing isn't encouraged because students aren't or pupils aren't given the space to make free choices and to flourish in the way that they see fit. There's a kind of a path dependency in terms of them being guided down a religious path of some sort.
Do you think, though, that could it not be a good idea if schools were allowed, in a sense, to have discussions on issues of belief? Because surely you wanted to comment.
I think it's essential that they do have those discussions, and neither Wolfhard or my perspective on this is that religion needs to be taken out of schools, and the court papers are quite clear that this isn't the intention. The intention is to remove religious ceremonies and observances in schools, but it's explicitly in favor of continuing to have religious education, because part of what makes culture and society and humanity so interesting is this range of beliefs and understanding what people believe and how they come to believe it and respecting cultural diversity and all of that sort of thing can only come through deep immersion into these rituals and symbolism and belief and so forth. So we need to carry on teaching all that stuff in religious instruction classes, including humanism and secularism and atheism and all of those sorts of things, in order to live together in more understanding and harmony. But when it comes to pushing a particular one or holding prayer services to the exclusion of other religions, etc., that's what the case is trying to address.
In fact, the abiding impression I get looking at the schools that were affected and generalizing the kind of mentality one gets in that part of the world, that perhaps we were dealing with institutions that were, in a sense, indulging in a them and us kind of attitude, which is certainly not very productive.
That's right. I mean, I think that it's the kind of exclusion, the us versus them, and the exclusion is a kind of discriminatory mindset, which is exactly the sort of thing that we fought so hard to, in a sense, overcome. So, I mean, of course, there are these tragedies where belief leads people to that kind of mindset, and they might continue to do that in their homes and in their places of worship and whatever it might be. But this is trying to say that in schools we should learn about each other and learn to get along and how to understand each other and not encourage that kind of divisiveness that religion can sometimes be interpreted as supporting.
The other thing is, of course, it seems like this particular case, seems to be, judging by the court case itself, a fairly regional thing, because all the schools appear to come from a certain part of the Gauteng region, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they do, but Hans Petersen and Urquhart have made it clear that they've used these six schools because they received a large number of well-documented complaints from parents at those schools. So it might not be that we could draw any kind of clear inference from the fact that they come from the Swan region, although at the same time I can well believe that this kind of mentality might be more prevalent in certain parts of the country than in others, and it's certainly a possibility.
Have you heard of any kind of responses by the schools in terms of the judgment, or is it just maybe days are just too early right yet?
It's perhaps a little bit early. I've seen some responses from one of the amicus, who was it, from Cause for Justice, who trumpeted as in a sense a victory for them, because because they're saying that this still leaves everything in the hands of the school governing boards, and to a limited extent it does, in the sense that the judge said that these things need to be attacked or challenged on that grassroots level, right? So what does the SGB say? And our religious observance has been conducted according to the SGB's rules. But I think with that reading that this organization has, the Course of Justice has come to, is short-sighted and perhaps self-serving, because the judge also made it clear that the SGBs would need to have their rules looked at again, because any rules they come up with need to conform to these other bits of legislation. So unless they are equitable and unless they are voluntary and so forth, then the rules themselves would be found to be invalid. So the point here is that it's a limited victory from my perspective for Urquhart, but it reminds us that there's no substitute for pupils themselves and for parents holding SGBs to account. And I think this gives them a lever of power to be able to do that, because there is this now statement of law that these things need to be done in a certain kind of way.
Yeah. So in other words, let's say I'm a parent at school B and I'm quite unhappy with what they're doing. I can actually approach the school governing body of that school and say, listen, there has been this ruling in court that you now have to kind of step into line.
Precisely. So what happened, and I've received countless letters from parents of yours, what happened in the past is that you'd approach the principal or approach the SGB, and they would point to their kind of selected bit of the act and say, look, SGBs have the power to do this. Whereas now the parent can say, yes, you do have the power, but the power is constrained by this recent judgment.
Interesting days ahead. Jacques Rousseau, UCT lecturer in critical thinking and ethics, talking to us about the High Court in Johannesburg handing down a ruling on religion in public schools, saying that schools can't promote just one faith or one belief. Jacques Rousseau, thanks a lot for chatting to us.
Thanks, Shafi. Bye.